Hey, welcome to Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. This is Father David at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. What a week it has been, what a time it has been following election for our nation and for all communities. We have taken the privilege and responsibility of voting very seriously in this election with such a remarkably high turnout. And then we are waiting and continuing to wait for votes to reach their final tally. We've had a declared winner, and we have contestation of that winning. And we continue to wait, but we have some sense of direction moving forward. We turn again and again in prayer and worship to God for nurture, healing, and life-giving transformation. And this is a sermon that I wanted to share with you from 8 years ago. 8 years ago, when I preached on election day at Virginia Theological Seminary Chapel. And this was 10 years following the great Loya Jirga vote in Afghanistan in 2002. You might remember how people marked their thumbs or their forefingers. They had to dip into ink that dyed their skin purple after they voted, to indicate that they had voted, and that was a dye that lasted for several weeks to make sure that they protected the vote. It was a prevention of voter fraud, but it became also a badge of honor and pride among the people. So for this sermon, I dyed my thumb purple, and I held it up and I said, "You remember what this applies? This is a reminder of just how precious this opportunity is to vote, to make my voice, my concerns, my hopes heard in a process of choosing those who will govern and direct our society." Molly was a friend of mine that I had met several years prior who worked for the UN with the election effort of 2002 to get out the vote for the formation of the Loya Jirga. She talked about how they needed to work directly with the tribal warlords to get access to groups of people. How the entire process of forming this government was a matter of conversation and negotiation. How it was a huge nationwide venture in building trust. Trust. It's a process not far from the community building and community organizing processes used by the founders of this nation after the war for independence, and by the writers who carried messages and worked on negotiations and conversations between local and national groups. We often hear that our right to vote is bought with the price of soldiers' blood, the sacrifice for life. Yes, that's true, and we mark with honor on this Veterans Day period those who have given of service and continue to live their lives after having given their service in that way. But our right and privilege to vote is also won by the hard work of those who negotiate, who argue and converse and compromise and seek creative solutions for the sake of all of us. So, what does this purple dye signify? This badge of voting, what does it signify? This is not a mark that is a weapon. This mark is not a weapon. It's not a bullhorn or a microphone. It's not my personal constitution. And it's unfortunate that this election cycle this year, as it was in 2012 and 2016, but even more inflamed now in 2020, that this election cycle has concluded arguably the most bitter, hostile fights in our lifetime for our votes. It's unfortunate to say that so many billions of dollars are squandered with ads purchased to invade our homes with attacks on opponents and vapid promises. And not just our homes anymore, but our cell phones. So our personal time as we scroll through Facebook and other social media. It's unfortunate that we've come to believe that truth resides on one side of the aisle or the other, in one ideological universe or the other. It's unfortunate that the contest of votes has become a no-holds-barred battle, with winners gaining the privilege not of governing for the good of all, but of governing for the good of the 51% who choose them. I am glad to hear that the president-elect at this time has said, "I wish to be a president for all of America, not just those who voted for me." And I'm glad to vote. I remain concerned as a citizen and engaged in the process. I'm glad that the dismissive cynicism of some years past has given way to passion, however well-informed or conciliatory that passion may or may not be. But I wonder, how willing am I, really, to entrust governance to someone else on my behalf and on behalf of others who may hold very different interests than mine? Voting is a privilege, friends, but voting is also a way in which I contribute my voice and yet also yield my voice and privilege to the whole, to the body of people who have inherited or taken on the mantle of citizenship in a nation formed around conversation, discourse, disagreement, and compromise. And my voting and the voting process in totality does not guarantee that truth and righteousness have resulted. I'm capable of being deluded and deluding myself, as are you. We are capable of shared delusion, and so are those who are like us, and so of those who share views opposed to us. We are capable of group delusion, and we are capable of sinful compromise that accepts the diminishment of some and the privileging of others in unjust ways. We're capable of foisting on others decisions and policies that are winner-take-all in the name of what we think is right and good and absolute. At the end of the day, it's a sinful, broken, fallible humanity that votes in a finite, limited world. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Neither is it an oligarchy, nor is it an anarchistic society, nor is it a totalitarian regime. It is the reign of God, revealed in Jesus Christ, the one whose reign is found on the cross, whose glory and grace flow to all humanity from that place, indeed to all the world, in that place of cruelty and shame at the hands of mob and religion and state. He is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. In Christ, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, Democrat nor Republican, Tea Partier nor socialist, rich nor poor, black nor white. In Christ, and only in God and in no other place, there is one humanity. So I vote. And as a citizen in this vast landless kingdom of God, I will love and greet those across any aisle or street. I must, because it's the charge given to me from the one Christ, the one Savior, the one Lord, our health, our pattern. And so we greet one another in our worship in the Episcopal Church with the peace of Christ, the Lord of life, the Prince of Peace. May we live as we speak. Amen and amen. Go in peace and be at peace with one another.